This is an ABC podcast.
Roots and Shoots with Amber and Sabrina on ABC Radio Perth and WA and the ABC Listener.
I hope you think Amber Cunningham's voice sounds a little different, possibly, hopefully, a little bit deeper today. It's not Amber after a big night and a few packets of cigarettes. I'm not that deep. It's Christian Horgan with you filling in for Amber today.
It is.
And sitting beside me, the lovely, gorgeous Sabrina Hahn.
Well, and I have to say, Christian, I get excited when I know that you're in here because, you know, we've done this before.
Oh, yes, the OG.
Yeah. Yes,
this was the first show I ever presented, and Sarah Knight and I brought you onto this show.
That's right.
30 years ago or something like that.
This year, 2006, is my 30th year with the ABC.
Oh, I'm so happy to see that. And we haven't aged a bit.
Oh, my God, we look as fresh as a daisy, just popping up.
That is why we are on the radio and not on the television. But that's just to introduce us. It's not about us today. It is all about you and all about your gardens. We'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call, 1-300-222-720, or you can send us a text on 0437-922-720 as we talk roots and shoots.
We are rooting and shooting today.
We certainly are. Mm. I think Nola is too. How are you this morning, Nola?
I'm very well. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Seb, I sent through some photos of my crab apple.
Oh, yes.
That yep. I planted 3 months ago yep. in memory of a dear 96-year-old friend.
Aww.
And I've let it grow. Now, it's got two main leaders now.
Yes.
You might be able to see.
Yes, I can.
I've loosely, because I live in a Bunbury, windy Bunbury.
Yeah.
I've loosely tethered them.
Yeah.
Is it correct to just let both of them go the way they want to, or should I choose one leader?
No, no, I would have both of them yep. just for that fact that it's quite windy in Bunbury, and yes. You get sort of more bang for your buck with two main okay. leaders, and right. it'll have a beautiful vase shape, Nola. So I would leave them on there, and the one you've got, Profusion, that's a beautiful crab apple.
I'm hoping so.
Yeah.
When should I take those ties off to let it spread?
I would wait until winter when it's deciduous. Yep. So once it's okay. dropped all its leaves, take the tethering, detether it okay. in winter. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, Nola.
Thank you, Nola. That is something that has changed from 30 years ago. People can just text through their images now and they pop up.
I know.
Before we had to have the letters and people would send in seeds, sometimes white powder.
Yeah. Oh, something was really mouldy and mushy, and you'd open it and go, well, that was probably alive at one point in time.
Yes.
But now it's just slime.
Or the post wasn't quite as gentle with that as we would have liked. So we'll try and identify it if we can.
Yeah. So getting the photos is fantastic.
It is fantastic. You can send them through on the text line 0437-922-720. We'd love to hear your voice too, 1-300-222-720. You're on Roots and Shoots with Christian Horgan and Sabrina Hahn. Shall we head to a text now? I've
yes.
got this one. Hi, Sabrina. My name is Fanny. I have a question regarding my late dad's Angelo's chili. I have still with me. I only have one left and I'm scared to plant it and it not work as there isn't any more left. He died 6 years ago and I want to plant it without me killing the last seeds.
Yeah.
I'll add a picture. I'm not sure if the picture has come through yet.
Okay. I so love the gardens, you know, when we have dear friends or family. Oh, it's a withered little thing,
We've
isn't
got
it?
The picture. It
We've
is
got the
it
picture.
Is one chili on a table.
Yep. Every time you walk out into your garden, you think of that person. I think
it's beautiful.
It's so lovely. Okay, so Franny, the good thing for you is this is the perfect time to actually sow the seed. So split the chili open, and now I would recommend that you grow them in a pot for a little while before you put them in the ground. There are the chili thrips are out and about, so you may need to, because this is your last chili, you may need to spray with pyrethrum or something just to keep the chili thrips off when it gets a little bit bigger. Open the seed up, put the seed on a piece of kitchen towel, make sure that that's moist, and then get seed raising mix, plant it in an individual pot. Just you cover the seed with perlite or vermiculite, the same depth of the width of the seed. Put it in a nice protected position. Water it twice a day with a watering can or a mister, and they will all sprout. They will all shoot. So once they're about 10 centimetres high, then you can start to harden them off, give them more sun. But chili seeds, they grow really, really well from seed. So
they do. I've managed to do it.
And there you go.
I don't have the green thumbs that Sabrina does.
Easy as.
Yeah, okay, insult me. Franny, I love this because, as Sabrina said, you can walk out in your garden, that plant reminds you of your loved one. But when you've got something edible, you can cook amazing food with it. Their favourite meals.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're with you through all that too.
Yep.
Bring the family around and other people who knew that person.
Yep.
This was made from Dad's chili, or this was made from... Yeah, I think that's really beautiful. Thank you for that, Franny. Let's take a call now. Let's go to Graham from Gwellup. How are you, Graham?
Oh, very well. No, beautiful day today.
Yes. Oh, yes. It'd be gorgeous down there.
That's right. Well, look, I've got about a 5-6-year-old apricot tree that gave me a few apricots last year, but I'd like to know when's the best time to prune it for next year and what's the best fertiliser to use.
Okie dokie. So for apricots, you usually only prune once every 2 years, not every year.
Right. Yep.
And the best time to do it is at the end of March. So, once the heat's over. And in terms of fertiliser, just a really good fruit-based fertiliser that has good potassium, levels of potassium in it.
Oh, potassium.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I got the same thing with a mandarin tree that's just coming through. And what fertiliser would you use for that?
I would get the citrus fertiliser for that.
Citrus one.
Yeah.
And when do fertilise the apricot tree, do you suggest?
In spring, about September. Yep. Beginning of September. Yeah.
Ready for next year.
Yep. So and your mandarin, Graham, prune that when it finishes fruiting.
Good. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Graham. And if you want to make some jam from that, you can post it up to us at the ABC.
I will.
Love apricot jam.
Thank you, Graham.
Thanks,
really appreciate the call. You're on Roots and Shoots with Christian Horgan and Sabrina Hahn. Let's head down to Albany now.
Oh, let's do.
I love that part of the world. Kim's on the line. Kim, you've got a question for Sabrina this morning.
Yes. We have a beautiful golden robinia.
Yep.
That's looking just wonderful. It was a bit tatty last year, but because of the extra rain, I think it's looking just beautiful at the moment. And I think when I was sort of getting some grass out around the roots, I've disturbed the root and I got a little baby come up.
Yep.
So I'm wondering if I can have that baby all to myself and dig it out and put it somewhere else.
No. That is
that is
one child that you do not want, Kim, because that will the shoot that comes from that is actually the great-great-grandparent of the golden robinia, and they are a nightmare. So they spread like wildfire. They have big thorns. They develop these big thorns. You definitely don't want that. So what you do need to do is
beautiful.
You need to cut its head off.
Oh, okay.
Thorns can be beautiful. I've been called a thorn many a time.
They can, Christian. But the suckers of your golden robinia you do not want them in your garden, and nor does your neighbours. So you need to get rid of that, Kim.
Okay.
Isn't it better to know that now than once you've nurtured it further and further and it comes back to stab you?
That's right. It'll eat you alive.
Okay, thanks very much. Okay.
Good luck with that, Kim. Now, Rick's on the line from West Leederville. Rick, you've been smart and sent through some pictures as well. Good morning, Rick.
Ah, look at this. Good morning. You've got a rather pathetic, defoliated looking.
Yeah.
She's harsh.
It's amongst a group of five, the others are doing well. That one over the last year has started dying.
And I can tell you why. Yeah. So, you see the bulbous base on it? That is the rootstock, and the rootstock is more vigorous than what the graft is, so it's taking all the energy and not sharing any goodness with the top part, which is what the mandarin's been grafted onto. The rootstock they use for mandarins is different to what they use for lemons and oranges, and quite often it's over vigorous, so and it basically
it has
strangles.
Been growing shoots.
Yeah.
It's growing shoot, which I keep taking off.
Yeah.
Can you suppress it? Because I've had a problem with rootstock before with a passion fruit vine.
There is the growers. The growers can get access to a hormone that prevents the rootstock from shooting, but you need a license for it, so I don't think it's that readily available.
But is it going to die?
Eventually, it will. Yeah, but you'll have a strong rootstock
that will give you a lot of thorns, maybe few leaves, no fruit, and take a lot of your time.
Unfortunately, Rick, I see this a lot in mandarins, and they never thrive. So I wouldn't waste my time on that mandarin. I would ditch that and get another one.
Thank you.
And also
another quick one.
Rick, go to a nursery, not a hardware store. Go to a nursery in WA, in Perth, that they specialise in fruit trees. They use a different rootstock to the one that's the ones that come from over east. So go to a local West Australian nursery and buy another one.
Okay. Thank you. Have I taken up too much time?
No, if you're quick.
She will prune you if you're not.
I have two photos about my conifers.
Oh, yeah.
Have you got those photos?
No.
Both of us, no.
But what?
How do you thin out conifers? You know, mine are growing fatter and fatter and going, I know what to thin them out, but you know, they're all woody underneath.
No, conifers. Conifers, you cannot prune back hard because that whole stem will die right back to the trunk. So little and often.
And often, so.
Thinning out. I'm not
Don't go for the massive
from the top,
thin.
Just from the side.
Yeah, thin it out over time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Thank
okay,
you very
thanks,
much,
Rick.
Everyone.
Thanks,
Thank
Rick.
You,
really appreciate it. I've got Alice on the line now from Meckering.
And she must have sent a picture because she wants to know what the plant is.
Here we go.
Look, what a beautiful photo with the sunlight. Like, see that sunset. Yeah, it's sunset or sunrise.
You are with us, Alice. How are you this morning?
Hello, Alice.
Good. Very well, thank you.
That's good.
That's Toby's.
No. Lily Pillies.
So you've got a plant you need identified. Can you describe it to us?
Yes, sir, and I'm sorry I can't send a photo because I don't know how.
That's okay.
That's all right. I'll see if I can have a crack at it.
We do gardening for Luddites too.
We do. We do gardens for everyone. So have a description for me.
Yeah, well, the plant is one that's got everyone that I've shown it to baffled because no one can identify it. And it came up in the part of the garden where there was a lot of bushy and scrubby things, and I didn't see it until probably a couple of months ago, and it's now 5 feet tall.
Right.
It's a green stem with green leaves.
Yep.
And it's shooting directly from the ground, and the ground is as hard as a rock. And it's just growing like I don't know what.
Like Topsy. Now, I'm wondering if it's one of the desert currajongs.
Well, can I just ask, how would that get to Meckering?
Well, seed. So parrots can eat the seed and then they poo it out. But seed can travel in sheep, you know, it attaches itself to sheep's wool.
Would you get it through? You wouldn't get it through sheep manure, and well, unless it attached their wool fill into a bag of manure you had, and
yeah, it's look, seed can travel far and wide. It's a bit hard because the desert currajong, when it first comes up, the trunk is actually a beautiful green colour. So I'm wondering if it's that. So Alice, the thing to do is Google currajong. Or brachy, the proper name is brachychiton, B-R-A-C-H-Y-T-O-N, brachychiton.
Do you need the origin and used in a sentence?
Yeah. Or currajong, K-U-R-R-A-J-O-N-G, currajong. Yeah, B-R-A-C-Y. C-H-I-T-O-N for its botanical name. See if it's that.
And if it isn't, oh, by the way, the stem or where all the shoots are coming from,
mm-hmm.
The bark, well, there isn't any bark on the tree. I've never seen anything like it. It's like tiny, tiny shells stuck on the stem of the tree and you can't put it off.
Ah, so that sounds like minirichi bark. In that case, it could be an acacia. Alice, could you get someone to take a picture and send it to us?
Who? What's the address to send it to?
What's the address, Christian?
I'm looking at Asher through the screen. What's the address that someone should send a picture to? Do you mean digitally or GPO Box 9994 in your capital city?
Yeah, no.
You're talking old school photo. Yeah, yeah. We just want a digital one, which might be easier.
So,
is there an email? What's the email address for the program? We'll get that to you, Alice. You keep listening
and we will say it. Yes.
You've got people who have been here for 30 years. Things have changed and we're not up to speed. Hey, I said it's gardening for Luddites. I think we're in that category.
We certainly are. When it comes to all the technical stuff, I only know how to push a button and swipe stuff across the screen.
Yeah, I'm looking at Asher through the screen, but the calls are flooding in and she's busy talking to people. Alice, you keep listening.
Yes.
And we will get that information to you.
Yep.
But thank you very much for your call this morning, Alice. We really appreciate it.
And especially meckering. Alice, you're our first meckering caller, I think.
Oh, gee, well, I'll do one more quick question.
Yep.
If I can't get much satisfaction, where is a good identification way?
Okay, so on your smartphone, when you take a picture, there's a little... It'll come up with a little circle with an eyes, which means information. But the problem is, Alice, if it's a West Australian plant, they never recognise our plants. So the best thing is you stay online, Alice, and
Asher's going to have a word
Asher
with you. Yeah.
We'll have a word with you and tell you how you can get that picture to us.
Thank you for stumping us, Alice, and thank you very much for your call.
That deserves recognition, first call from Meckering. Come on.
Yeah.
I know. Come on, Meckering. Alice is there. Where are all the other gardeners in Meckering?
Maybe they all know how to, they can identify their plants already.
True.
I don't know.
This is true.
But we loved hearing from you, Alice. I've got Helen from Shenton Park on the line. Helen, you've got a question about worms, I believe.
I have indeed. Thank you very much for taking my call. Hello,
Helen.
Hello. I have two amazing worm farms. They're doing beautifully. My worms are very happy as long as I keep them full.
Yeah.
Well, the castings are very moist. And so when I come to empty some of the layers and I try and incorporate them in the garden, I just get small little moist balls of worm castings that won't incorporate in the soil.
Oh.
And I'm wondering if you have any clever...
It could be the layering. It could be it's probably what you're feeding them, Helen. So it sounds to me like it's a bit moist in there for the worms. So I would mix up what you're feeding them with a bit of, a bit of carbon. So some newspaper or, as long as it's shredded. So not so much wet food, but dry stuff.
Right, because I do put newspaper on there, but it's just lots of layers of moist newspaper when it's going to be because I try and keep the
to keep the poor little sausages cool. But it sounds to me like it's just a bit too wet.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good because I did a few YouTube videos and they all. Quite dry castings, and I'm thinking that isn't mine. So.
Yeah. No, I think they're swimming in a bit too much moisture.
But they wouldn't be doing any harm to the garden either. They will. The castings will dry out, and they'll have the nutrients, won't they?
If you've got soil worms, which are very different to composting worms, so you can't put if you put composting worms in the garden beds, they usually die within 2 weeks. It's not going to do any harm. And eventually, if you've got earthworms, the earthworms will eat the worm castings, even if it's a solid little ball, they'll hook in. And there's all sorts of protozoa. There's microbes there that will, you know, attack that. They'll eat the worm castings. So they're still going to be good to put in your garden bed, Helen, even if they are a bit sort of, you know, round moist. And moist.
Moist. Thank you very much for that call, Helen. I'm learning stuff myself today. You're on Roots and Shoots on ABC Radio. You're with Christian Horgan and Sabrina Hahn. We'd love to take your calls. 1-300-222-720. You can send through a text on 0437-922-720. Toby has done just that. And Toby has sent through those pictures that you were describing earlier.
Yes.
How are you this morning, Toby?
Hello, Toby.
Good morning.
You know what your lily pillies look like that a big mob of those giant grasshoppers has nipped through and just put them into where they just look like a single pole with hardly any leaves at all.
So I should describe this. You've sent through a couple of photos. It looks like you had a fence line of lily pillies that's roughly 6 metres long or so, but it's only half. It looks like it's made up of about 6 or 7 trees, but it's only half a fence line because 3 of those fence poles are literally just that, fence poles.
They're not looking thriving. Should we say, Toby?
Yeah, well, what it is over a year or so, they're slowly dying one at a time, but it's not from the top. I'm wondering if it's from the bottom.
Yeah.
In the soil.
I reckon it's the root system. I think you're on the money there, Toby. I don't think it's to do from the top down. It's the bottom up.
Because the top seems to take off every now and they die back.
Yeah.
And now they're slowly catching each other, so maybe there's something in the soil, but do I need to pull them all out and start again? Or?
Do you know what you'd need to do is sacrifice one, dig it up, have a look at it, shake the soil off the roots, have a look at the root system. If you've got lumpy, bumpy things on the root system, that's root knot nematode, and they prevent... Root knot nematode prevent water and nutrients going up to the plant... And they're quite difficult to
eradicate.
Yeah, so you've got to. They love sandy, nutrient poor soil. The root knot nematode. You can.
So would I have to pull them all up then?
Well, no. What you can do is you can get nematodes that eat the root knot nematode.
Oh wow!
So you fight fire with fire, basically. So you can buy online. The beneficial nematodes that'll knock off those nematodes.
And this is when she does a mime, so she doesn't have to pronounce the name or the commercial entity or something.
That's right.
So how do I apply that every so often or once?
You probably need to do it twice in the year. Now, for all of the bugs you get to eat bugs, hint, hint, they have a life cycle and you have to release them at certain times of the year. So have a look at that. Now, the other thing about root knot nematode is if you can improve the soil with compost, clay and manure, they don't like any of – they like this really sandy, poor soil.
I don't water them very often and I don't give it any love, so that's what
– Oh, yeah. Well, I reckon.
Another issue.
Yeah, that's another issue. But that's the kind of stuff that root knot nematode loves.
Toby, can I just ask, this fence line that is dying, did it start from the outer edge of the fence and work its way along?
Yeah, if you're looking at the front from the left, it's slowly working to the right-hand side.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So the issue is progressing along your fence line.
Yeah, it is, yeah. So you need to dig up one of those and really have a look at the root system. And also there can be fungal diseases that are in the soil. The others look quite healthy, which is interesting.
Well, that's what it is. The healthy ones are slowly not looking healthy. Even though I don't give them any love, the water ones.
Ah, right. Yeah. Well, you do know that lily pillies come from tropical Queensland and New South Wales in rainforests, Toby. I would say your plot there in Malaga would not be representative of a rainforest in the eastern states.
Slightly sandier soils.
Just a bit.
Stab in the dark. So give them some water?
Yeah, give them lots of stuff, water, fertilizer, wetting agents, manure, compost, clay, or choose a different plant.
Toby, thank you very much for your call this morning. We really appreciate it.
Great show. Thanks for your help. Thank you.
Thanks, Toby.
And from Malaga, we go to Byford. How are you, David?
Hi there.
G'day, David.
What is your question for Sabrina Hahn?
Oh, right. I've got some Agonis hedging, which until Christmas was doing really well, lots of new growth, looking really healthy.
Yep.
Now the top side of the leaves is turning a sort of silvery grey colour, powdery, and it's all dying back.
Yep. Spider mites. Spider mite. So
spider mites, yes.
Yeah, so the Agonis hedges get it every single year. So spider mite thrive in hot, dry conditions.
Yep.
And they love the Agonis hedge. So you can get predatory mites that eat the spider mites.
I love this.
Yeah.
The biology lessons that we're getting.
It's fantastic. So the predatory mites go to town on spider mite, and in actual fact, so do spiders eat spider mites.
Oh, this sounds like the laddie who swallowed the spider to catch the fly that wriggled and tickled and jiggled.
Insider. Now, I have a viburnum hedge and it gets hammered by spider mite, and I had fairy lights thrown over the hedge one Christmas, and it was riddled with spider mites. And then after about a month, everything seemed to disappear. And when I had a look inside the hedge, I had heaps of little tiny jumping spiders, and they were obviously knocking off the spider mite. So spiders will eat spider mite, but other mites, predatory mites, will eat spider mites. If you want to spray, you can use a sulfur-based spray. But that's going to kill – so don't use that if you're going to use predatory mites.
Okay.
Because it'll kill them as well.
Wonderful. Yep. Oh, well, I'd like to get it back looking nice and green.
Yeah. And, you know, you can prune that the dwarf Agonis mercilessly at the end of summer.
Yeah, I did it last year because it started last year.
Okay,
with this,
And
I pruned it back, but I thought I might have got rid of it, but not.
No, it'll return.
Thank you for your call, David. Good luck with that.
Roots and Shoots with Amber and Sabrina on ABC Radio Perth and WA and the ABC Listener.
Christian Horgan filling in for Amber today. Do not worry, I am not giving the gardening advice. Otherwise, it would be a very brief segment. I've got the gorgeous Sabrina Hahn with me. And we're taking your calls, 1300 222 720, or text 0437 922 720. Let's head down south to Quarrumup, where Leanne is joining us. How are you, Leanne?
Very well, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you've got a question about Agapanthus.
I do. I live on a farm. I've got a 15-metre row of Agapanthus that have been there for about 35 years.
Yep.
They're up against a fence, so they're very one-sided, very dense, only about a quarter of them flowering.
Yes.
So I want to dig them up and divide them.
Yes.
I'd like to know the best time of year to do it, please.
Yes.
And can I dig them up with the tractor bucket? And how deep should we go?
Okay, so really, Agapanthus, you can dig up any time where you feel really strong and committed to the to the chore. The only time you don't do that is midsummer. So, you know, we're in the wrong time of the year to do it now.
And is that because when you transplant them or something, you just don't want them tortured?
Yeah, and they, because you need to, so when you dig them up to divide them, you have to cut the leaf off. So you're going to take, you're only going to leave 20 centimetres of leaf. Then you cut all the tops off. Then you dig it up. You get a rugby league team in with some long handle shovels, and you need to prune the root plus the top. So when you dig them up, you need to prune the root system as well, because they have masses of those, you know, really moist, thick root system. So you tidy them up, you take all the old bits off, and then you replant them.
Yeah. And so can I dig them out with the tractor bucket, and how deep would we need to go? Oh,
that is music to my ears.
Tractor buckets. Even that turned me on.
That is the only way in which I would recommend you dig up Agapanthus. Yeah. So so you'd need to go down 30 centimetres.
Oh, okay, not deep at all.
No, it doesn't need to be that deep. They're not really deep-rooted. It's just they have a lot of roots in a small space.
You have to break them up a bit too, don't you?
Yeah, you've got to divide them. Yeah. So that's why you cut the top, you cut the root system, and then you start pulling them apart.
Yeah, fantastic. Hmm. So,
well done, Leanne. Yep. I love your gardening tool.
I've got 10 brown thumbs. Look, you can't kill them.
That is better than having 11 brown thumbs, Leanne, so you're one ahead of me. Thank you very much for your call this morning. I love that she had an alternative for a rugby team, which was a tractor.
Yeah. You know, I just so wish I could fit a tractor in my garage.
I'm sure you'll find a way, but heaven help us, because I call you Sabrina the Hun for your pruning technique. If you had a tractor to plough things up, I think there'd be a sinkhole wherever you lived.
Wouldn't it be exciting?
Yeah.
I could go up and down the street.
Yeah, water court being getting calls saying, hey, there's ruptured water mains near Sabrina Hahn's house again. Phil from Andrew is on the line. How are you, Phil?
Yeah, hi, Sabrina. Hey. Is there any use or perhaps benefits in using used tea bags around the garden or in
my oath there is. I never throw my tea bags out unless I throw them in the garden. So I put them in the compost, I put them on tops of hanging baskets. Tea bags are fantastic in the garden.
What benefits do they offer?
Okay, so they hold a lot of moisture. They give the microbes in the soil something to chew on, because microbes don't mind a cup of tea now and again.
They get a little bit of a buzz. Yeah, you know, will work a little harder for you.
They work as a mulch on pots. You just got to take the string and the papery bit off, otherwise it looks a bit unsightly.
Mm-hmm.
So they, because of their ability to hold moisture and they've got a bit of tannin left in them, they're good for the garden.
Good, thanks for that.
My pleasure, Phil. Go out and hurl your tea bag in the garden.
Don't overload and drink more tea than you need to, though, just for your garden. Mm. But, yeah, I'm sure you drink enough tea to get us through. Thank you very much for that, Phil. We're heading to Mount Barker now. How to grow a wonga wonga vine?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How are you this morning, Jeff?
A Pandorea pandorana.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Now, I do have to tell you, Jeff, that I quite often would recommend wonga wonga vines, especially the new ones, as a really fantastic, great climber. And then someone from the Northern Suburbs Wildflower Society sent me a picture of up in the hills where the Pandorea is one of the worst weeds and has taken over half of the forest. So I just need to tell you with a warning that because it produces so much seed, it can become an absolute menace of a weed.
Yeah, well, this particular one where I've got it from a plant in Mount Barker.
Yeah.
It's the only one I've ever seen.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
So it's not going rampant there.
No.
The bad as well.
Yeah.
Well, when we had a farm down at Napier, we had blackberry plants.
Oh.
Oh, I can remember three of them. They would have been about 10 metres long and about 5 metres wide, and they never ever spread.
Oh, really? Wow.
No, and they say the same with Paxonias.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, the passion fruit. I love them.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen those things spread.
Yeah. All right.
And I'm wanting some now, and yeah. I've asked nurseries to find them, and they can't find any of them.
Okay. So what happens with nurseries is they usually bring out plants when they're in flower. So the Pandorea, a lot of them have just about finished flowering, but they are really easy to grow from seed, Jeff.
Oh, that's good.
Yep. So you need to start them off in a really, really cheap potting mix with nothing in it, so none of the good stuff. And you need to bury the seed. So start them off in a pot. Don't put them in the ground. You need to bury the seed twice the depth of the length of the seed.
Oh, gee, you'd only put a film over the top.
That's exactly right.
Ta-da, that easy.
They're
about the size of, they're a bit smaller than a tomato seed.
Yes, that's right. So you
sneeze
could...
and you got it covered.
So I'd put a few in the one pot. Now, cover the seed not with the potting mix but with vermiculite or perlite. Oh, yeah. You buy it in a little bag. And don't water it in with the hose because the seed is so small it just goes goes out of the pot. So you can use a little sprayer, a little atomizer, a spray gun, or a watering can that's got a fine hole. You'll need to water it every day, and germination usually takes about 10 days, and you'll have as many wonga as you want on how many seeds you've got. They germinate readily.
Oh, okay.
There you go. So you got a little bit of homework, but not much.
Yeah,
if you fail this, Jeff, you're in my category of gardener.
What was that, Jeff?
Is it okay to plant them now?
Yes, it's a perfect time to plant them now. They love the heat, Jeff.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call, Jeff, and good luck with that. You're with Sabrina Hahn and Christian Horgan on Roots and Shoots on ABC Radio, possibly on the app, possibly on the podcast.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Podcast,
we're like a weed. We're spreading. Don't worry, they might come up with an insecticide or something to contain us. But we're going rampant and rapid and feral and everything.
Feral.
In fact, we're a little bit closer to where we're sitting now. We're heading to Scarborough now. Des is on the line. How are you this morning, Des?
Very well, thank you. I enjoy your program. Love listening to you.
Oh, thank you, Des.
I've got two parts to my question.
Yep.
I've got a on the public property at the roadside next to my property, there's a bunch of are casuarina trees.
Yeah.
Growing. The roots have migrated quite a lot into my property and lifted the pavers and they're all through the lawn and everything else.
Oh.
I'm just wondering what I can do to eradicate them or stop them from migrating or whatever I can do.
So is the block next door, is it like a park or is it council
owned? It's roadside.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the big, the problem for you is that unless they're removed, the problem's going to keep occurring.
Yeah, it appears though that even if you do like cut the roots off, they obviously they continue to grow. You know, I mean the parent tree or whatever.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I think even moving that, it doesn't. You know, they've already sort of established themselves.
Yeah. If you kill the suckers rather than cutting them off, if you actually spray them with blackberry tree killer,
glyphosate or something
No, they'll just laugh at glyphosate. They'll go,
oh, okay.
Try a little bit harder, Des.
Thanks for the bar and the spa day.
What do you call that stuff? Blackberry.
So you need to mix 40% blackberry and tree killer. With
60%?
With 60% kerosene.
I'm just writing this down.
Yep. And you paint, so you cut and you paint the sucker.
Right.
So that will prevent the sucker from coming back. Now, you're going to have to do that with every sucker. And also...
Yeah, there's quite a lot of them everywhere, actually.
Yeah, or even spray. If you've got a whole pile of them, just spray it.
Yeah, yeah. Would that affect the lawn?
No.
The blackberry killer stuff?
No. No, because you're just going to spray the actual tree. You're not going to spray all around the lawn. If it does, the lawn might go a bit yellow, but it's going to come back.
Yeah, I think it would, well, there are that many of them, I think it would be impossible because what I've been doing is mowing the lawn over the year, and that sort of aggravated the little roots and they all pop up everywhere.
That's why you've got to go the blackberry tree killer and kerosene mix.
Yeah.
So the kerosene is not going to be good for your lawn.
No, I can understand that. Yeah.
So you're just going, even if you get like a paintbrush on the end of a stick, and you dip it in the mix, and you wipe across all of the suckers.
It'll be quite a job. I think the reason they migrated there is because obviously I water my grass in my place.
Yeah.
And the public property is not being watered.
Yep.
Second part, I've been in contact with the City of Stirling to voice my concerns because it has done quite a bit of damage.
Yes.
What kind of person, they have actually denied that it's their issue. They say, no, it's another tree, which it's not.
What tree are they saying it is?
There's a tree on my property which doesn't perform the same way, but
with casuarina suckers, you cannot mistake casuarina for anything else.
You're talking about a local council.
Yeah.
They can mistake a lot of things.
It was ridiculous what they said.
Yeah.
The second part of my question, so I don't use up too much of your time.
Yeah.
What sort of person could I contract to maybe write a report confirming
because I want
to take this up with this site?
Yeah, you will need to get an arborist in to write a report for you. So the arborist will identify them as definitely a casuarina and
they're unmistakably casuarina.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. But you're dealing with local council. So you need an arborist that says this is what it is and it's caused this problem. And then you present
There are no casuarina trees on any other surrounding areas. It's only roadside.
They do sucker, definitely.
Des, thank you very much for your call and good luck with that. You're on Roots and Shoots on the ABC with Christian Horgan and Sabrina Hahn. We've got you for about 12 more minutes, Sabrina, so we can get through a few more calls.
Oh, let's rip through.
Maybe a text or two, the number 1300 222 720 or the text number 0437 922 720. I've got Norm from Marmion on the line. Norm, how are you this morning? And I believe you got something edible for us.
Ooh.
Yes, I have. I've got... a trombetta zucchini, which is an Italian type.
I know. I love them.
Yeah, and I've also got the gem squash, the round ones about the size of a cricket ball.
Yep.
And I planted two of each side by side in the same region.
Yeah.
So there's two lots of flowers. I've been pollinating the flowers from one to the other, so from the trombetta to the trombetta with a paintbrush in the big flowers.
Yep.
And I'm getting very little fruit, and that does develop is about 6 inches long, and then it dries and dies.
It falls off. Now, do you have male and female flowers?
Well, I don't know. How do I tell that?
Okay, so the male flower has a stick that sticks out. Sort of like equivalent to a penis on a male.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, and then the female.
You asked, Norm. You had to ask, didn't you?
Keep going. It's like I'm here and I'm ready to play. And then the female flower it's like a little cluster.
Don't tell me.
A little closed cluster.
That no male can find.
That's right. So the reason your stuff is not performing well, fruit, and it rots and falls off, is because it's you're not getting complete pollination.
I'm going male to male or female to female. So
there's nothing wrong with that, but you're not going to get offspring. So you're not going to get the fruits of your labour, as it were.
Right, okay.
So
well,
go,
thank you for that.
Yeah. So lift your cross-pollinating game and get your aim right, Norm. That's what she's saying.
Exactly.
And do you know what I do with all my cucurbits? I actually rip the male flower off entirely, rip its petals off, and then just poke it around the place.
You are brutal. And Sabrina has children.
The male and the female?
What's that?
Do the bees need the male and the female?
Yes, they do.
Okay. Yep. So I'll rip off some of the male plants. Some of the male ones then.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
Good on you guys.
Okay, thank Norm.
I love that call from Norm. I love that cheeky grin on your face, Sabrina. Warren is on the line from Gosnells. Warren, what's your question for Sabrina Hahn this morning?
Yes, good morning. I've got IBCs and I've turned them into wicking beds.
Yep.
And I was going to go and purchase some worms from the Bing Green Shed to put them in.
Yeah.
Are they all right to put in those?
Now, worms, you would be getting composting worms, and composting worms are like the princesses of the worm world. They don't like it too hot. They don't like it too cold. They don't like it too wet. They don't like it too dry. They need to be constantly fed with nice, fine shavings of your veggies.
Warren, you work for them. They don't work for you, is what she's saying.
Now, I wouldn't because I think your worms will have a very short lifespan in your wicking beds, and they may actually go further down to the base where the water is, and then they'll drown.
Yeah.
So I would put your worms in a worm farm rather than the wicking beds.
Yeah. I've tried to get earthworms out of the ground, but it's like rocks.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Interesting that, you know, earthworms are so different to composting worms. They have the same amount of hearts. They've got 5 hearts. That's why you can cut a worm in half and it's still...
Well, those 5 hearts spread amongst the body?
Segments.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will they naturally turn up in fertilisers and things that you've added to the...
No.
Beds?
Worms. Well, if you've bought compost, then you'll have worms in compost. But as soon as you put that out in the ground and they're, you know, they do the Goldilocks, where's all my bits that I need, and that's too hot, that's too cold, and that's the bowl's not big enough, they die.
Oh, okay then. Well, is there anything I can add to my, because I'm only growing vegetables.
Yep.
Compost.
Compost.
I've put tons of compost in.
Okay, that is great. Now, there may be eggs. There may be worm eggs in the compost, and they could be earthworm eggs in the compost. Mm-hmm. Compost, manure, biochar is really good. Singing to them. Interpretive dance.
I do the naked moon dance.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
Have you seen Sabrina's YouTube advisory naked moon dance video?
It's in a retirement village and they're not too happy about it.
I love it. Yeah.
You've been my favourite caller of the day, Warren, because you've made Sabrina blush.
Thank you, Warren.
Thank you, Warren. We really appreciate that. We're going to go down south again now. We're going down to Bridgetown. Sandy is with us. How are you, Sandy?
Good, thanks. But I can't beat those last two shows that you've had on.
Perform, Sandy, perform. We want an interpretive dance out of you.
Well, what can we do for you anyway, Sandy? Well,
I've moved from the farm into town. I've got these tomatoes. I've always grown across this. They've been big tomatoes. I've got these in big, like, half 44 gallon. I've got this beautiful black mud soil, sheep manure in it.
Yeah.
The beautiful big plants.
Yep.
Covered in tomatoes, but all little and crinkly.
Oh, that's no good. So the actual fruit.
Someone else told me they had trouble. Pardon?
Is the actual fruit is little and crinkly?
No, Warren's retirement village.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe it's following me. Eh?
I reckon that's a seed issue. I think you've got a bum set of seed. Pardon the pun.
Yeah, well, I got them from the nursery, you know, and they told me they were the ones. But is it grossly? So they're good tomatoes to grow,
aren't
they?
They're a beautiful tomato to grow, but it sounds to me like there's something wrong with the seed.
Yeah, well, a friend of mine had the same problem last year with grass list. They never grew either. There's thousands of them, out of them but they're all little and they're crinkly.
Yeah, it's a seed issue, Sandy. I don't know.
Get another pack of seed.
Get another packet of seed. You've got plenty of time to get
well,
another.
I didn't buy seed. I bought the plants.
I'm okay.
Ah, no. Grow them from seed, Sandy.
Mm.
There's been a real problem with the gross lizzies, plant-wise. I would definitely get it from seed.
Okay. Well,
there you go, Sandy. You've got a bit of work for you. So, but planting them from seed, it's not too hard to grow them, is it?
Easy peasy,
yeah,
lemon
easy
squeezy.
Peasy. You're on ABC Radio. You're listening to Roots and Shoots. Christian Horgan and Sabrina Hahn with you. We've only got a couple of minutes left. Well, a few minutes left. So why don't we go to a text?
Yes.
0437 922 720. What have you got for us, Sabrina?
Well, Diane from Mandurah has texted in and said she's on the road, so if she misses this, she can listen to the podcast. She's asking me what the name of the beautiful fluffy white flowered medium height eucalypt that I sometimes recommend to people. So it's either going to be Angophora costata or the Sydney apple eucalypt. So Angophora costata, or it can be Eucalyptus toddtiana, TODTIANA. So the Angophora costata is actually quite a big tree. The Eucalyptus toddtiana is a smaller, gets to about 8 metres.
Okay, so there you go. Driving in your car, hopefully that solved that for you. Let's see if we can fit in a call. I've got Jenny from Katanning on the line. How are you this morning, Jenny?
Very well, thank you.
Jolly good. What can we do for you, Jenny?
My son lives on a property in Katanning called Footrot Flats.
Yeah.
And we have built a veranda for him at the a flower bed at the end of a veranda. It's very hot.
Yep.
It's the bottom is builder sand, and we put some poor soil. It's clay. It's a Great Southern.
Okay.
So we want to put natives in.
Yes. Okay.
That's about a metre tall.
Okay.
Few different types.
I would go for Eremophilas. There are, and near Katanning, there is a fantastic grower. He grows for all the wheat belt, and that's a hint for the name. So if you have a look for a wheat belt.
The cryptic crossword that comes with Roots and Shoots.
If you have a look for the wheat belt native plant nursery, Eremophilas are a wonder plant. They are absolutely amazing. I go for Eremophilas, some of the dwarf Callistemons, and the dwarf Melaleuca. So you've got a variety of stuff there.
And any ground covers that would...
Yep, again, Eremophilas. There's a fantastic ground cover called... it's an acacia, and it's called Springtime Cascade, and it's big... And the other one you could use is a Grevillea Bronze Rambler. Beautiful.
It's very dry. It does grow in very little water. Okay.
Yep.
Which Grevillea? Grevillea?
Bronze Rambler.
Bronze Rambler.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you for your call.
And when can I plant these? Next year?
I'd leave it until the end of March, April.
End of March, yeah.
Thank you very much and good luck with that, Jenny. Thank you very much for all your calls and your texts today. I've really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed your company too.
It's been fun.
And your wisdom, Sabrina. Mm. Yes, I got the birds and the bees.
Yeah.
Education of gardening today. Hey, thank you for joining me this morning, those who tuned into the whole program of Saturday Breakfast. Some very diverse topics, and I loved your input. Stay with us on ABC Radio. It is 10 o'clock.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.